This is also sort of the conclusion of the wisdom series. And as you know, the past few weeks, we've been talking about how to seek God's wisdom in our life, especially as it pertains to how we want to pursue. Okay? We'll try. Keep trying a little bit. All right. One more try. Here we go. Wisdom, especially in pertaining to taking the kingdom of God. Okay. All right. All good. Wisdom in seeking the kingdom of God, because Jesus tells us in Matthew 7 at the end of the Sermon on the Mount that the wise builder is the one who builds his house on the rock. So I just want to look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, which is a very well-known verse for those of us who have grown up in the church. It's a wonderful verse, and I'm going to kind of hit it at three points. The first part of the sermon, I'm just going to talk about how it relates to wisdom and to wrap up that series. And then secondly, I want to talk about what it means to sort of pursue thanksgiving or giving thanks in all circumstances. And then last, but not least, we're going to look at what it means to give thanks from the life of Apostle Paul, the example he gives us. So let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 through 18. It reads, "Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." I apologize. I have a bit of a dry cough, so please bear with me. "Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Let us pray. Father, we come to you now to ask that your word will speak to us. And Father, give us a thankful hearts. Give us the gift of your Spirit. Pour it out upon us that we may be transformed. And Lord, let us hear clearly your will for us in our life, and that we may pursue it with all of our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. In terms of wisdom, Pastor Jen talked about decision making and sort of the part that God does and the part that he expects us to do. But when all is said and done, all of us make decisions. I think for those of us who are committed to follow Jesus Christ, we make decisions based on our desire to pursue God's will for our lives. We want to do what we believe God wants us to do, I think deep in our hearts. And Apostle Paul tells us in today's text what God's will for you is, and that is, he wants us to rejoice always, to pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances. Sometimes I find myself, when I'm faced with a decision, and all of us face decisions all the time, when I'm faced with a decision that is hard to make, and when I'm struggling to discern what the wise path is, when both sides seem viable and I'm kind of torn between which way to choose, I find great comfort turning my mind and energy into doing what I know to be God's will. What I'm saying is, in those moments when I'm sort of struggling with what should I pursue or what decision should I make, and I'm sort of overwhelmed by anxiety or stress because of that decision, one of the things that I found very helpful to me in my life is I turn to give my energy to things which I know God has willed for me in my life. In those situations when I'm faced with a dilemma that I don't know which way to go, I try to focus on God's will for me as declared in the Word of God. I try to be joyful. I focus on giving my energy to not making the decision necessarily, but I'm being joyful always, or to pray continually, or giving thanks in all circumstances. I give myself to pursuing God's kingdom and His righteousness, or pursuing sanctification, or loving others, these things which I know is God's will for me. And when I do that, when I pursue that which I know is God's will for me, I find myself less anxious about the decision that I face. Because in doing these things which I know God wants me to do, I know that I am in the center of God's will, and that whatever decision I make will be in accordance to His pleasure. And so one of the ways in which some of us, talking about wisdom and trying to choose a wise path, I want us to realize that God has revealed His will for you and for me in certain areas of our life. There is specific commands and exhortations in the Word of God about what God's will for you and for me is. And ultimately, when all is said and done about wisdom and making wise decision, is simply this, is if you pursue the kingdom of God and His righteousness, if you pursue joy and prayer and thanksgiving in your life, all of your decisions will fall in its rightful place. It really will. And so that, you know, we're not overwhelmed or anxious about the decisions we have to make. We focus on what we know to be God's will. And that is the first part of the Thanksgiving message I want to share with you. I want you, regardless of what you're facing, I want you to focus on what God has already revealed to you, which is to pursue His kingdom, and in today's text, to rejoice always, to give thanks in all circumstances, and to pray continually. But what does that mean? What does it mean for us to give thanks in all circumstances on this Sunday? I want us to sort of break that down. What does Paul mean when he tells us that it is God's will for you in Christ Jesus to give thanks in all circumstances? And for me, this is just sort of a biblical principle that I found to be helpful when I read and meditate on Scripture. Is sometimes when I read, when I come across a passage and want to know more about that passage, I try to read other parts of that letter or the context as, to try to figure out maybe something else in that letter gives hints as to what Paul is meaning. And I think there is a passage in chapter 3 in 1 Thessalonians that gives us a great insight into what I believe Paul is talking about when he says, rejoice, pray, and to give thanks in all circumstances. But I want us to just, before we look at what Paul means, I want us to look at what I think Paul doesn't mean. And sometimes we tend to default to, or sometimes we make mistakenly think this is what Paul means when he says, give thanks in all circumstances. This morning, a little rough, right? A little rough in terms of getting everything going, right? I mean, the screen is kind of didn't work the last minute, right? We had to get replacement, these things, projectors in. Some of our praise members just happened to schedule all of their sort of Thanksgiving trips. It overlapped, and one of our praise leaders ended up with the swine flu in the week. So, you know, things just happened where things just didn't seem to click, right? And Nadia also mentioned this week, I mean, she had a rough week, and we want to be thankful, but sometimes things don't go our way. And we think that when Paul's telling us to be thankful in all circumstances, we sometimes mistakenly think that regardless of what happens in our life, we have to find a silver lining in all of these circumstances and be thankful for it. And that's what I think some of us mistakenly think that this passage means. That I think what some of us think about when we hear this exhortation to be thankful in all circumstances, we hear Paul saying to us, no matter how bad things are, there's a silver lining in which you can find to be thankful for. It's the old, if you lose an arm, be thankful that you didn't lose two arms. And if you lose two arms, be thankful that you didn't lose your legs as well. But I believe that's not what Paul is meaning. Okay, in case you're getting like, oh, that's good, gotta make sure that. No, finding silver linings in all circumstances, I think, is not what is intended in this passage. In the Greek, in all circumstances, actually, is the new NIV committee's translation of in all things. In all things, give thanks. But I don't think Paul is saying you have to give thanks for all things. I think in all things, all circumstances, we need to be thankful. But we don't necessarily are encouraged to find a silver lining in all circumstances. There are certain circumstances where there is no silver lining. There really is no silver lining. And I don't think God is trying to force us to find something good in certain situations. Some of you know about a recent tragedy that happened in Richmond, California, Northern California, about a 15-year-old girl who was a very devout churchgoer, very involved in her church. You know, over three times a week, she participated in church activities. She's really excited about going to her homecoming church. And then she was brutally, in the evening, she was brutally sexually assaulted by a gang for for over several hours as onlookers watched and no one came to her aid. And, you know, when you read stories like that, I mean, our reaction is just anger and almost, it's hard to express. I mean, what goes through our emotions when we hear stories like that. But, you know, I don't think God is saying, try to find a silver lining in that situation. I think what God is telling us that even in situations like that, where there is no silver lining, where there's absolutely nothing redeeming coming out of it, there are things for which we can be thankful for, and which is namely God and prayer and hope and mercy and grace. This does two things. One, it does not diminish the pain and suffering that people go through in certain circumstances. To say, hey, look, something good is in that circumstance, you just have to look harder, sometimes undermines people's pain and suffering. Sometimes there is nothing good in it. But what is still in that painful moment is God. God is still there. And it's hard sometimes to see God in it, but the reality that He is there isn't diminished by the horrific nature of the circumstance or the event. His mercy is there. God's availability, the fact that God hears our plea and is there to pour out His mercy and grace, those are things which we can be thankful for. But I don't think God is necessarily telling us we need to be thankful for every circumstance that comes our way. The second reason that I don't think God is necessarily asking us to be thankful for all circumstances, or one of the ways in which we mistakenly understand this, is that I don't think personally that I'm smart enough to know if a circumstance is in the long run going to be a positive thing or a negative thing for me. You know, sometimes something happens in our life which we think is positive and we give God thanks for it. And sometimes we experience things which is as a negative and we sort of wonder, where is God in this? Well, I'm here to tell you, I don't think we're smart enough. Well, you may be. I'll just keep it to me personally then. I don't think I'm smart enough to see how all events in my life eventually work out for either for my good or for my growth. For example, let me just kind of give an example. Imagine you're doing something bad, something that you know is wrong, okay? And each one of you can fit in your own vice in here, okay? Let's say you're doing something that you know is wrong, and you're just about to be caught, and being caught will lead to great grief for you, okay? And you were just about to be caught and exposed, and yet you somehow got away with it, okay? And you're relieved. Like, phew. Would you be thankful for that? Should you be thankful? You know, and at the moment, yeah, I mean, if I was like speeding at 75 or 80 and the CHP was just, you know, speeds right by you. How many of you guys ever had that experience? You're speeding and the CHP, for whatever reasons, is chasing somebody else or you're going to call and just speeds right by you. And you're like, phew, I'm glad I didn't get caught with a speeding ticket. I mean, in the surface, it might seem like that's a good thing. Okay, but in the long run, you don't know if that's a good thing or not, right? I mean, maybe having gotten and getting a ticket will lead to you to change your driving habits and will save you from greater grief in the future. We don't know that. So simply to say, you know, base your Thanksgiving on circumstances is to give too much credence to our ability to discern whether certain circumstances are positive or negative. We don't really know. As Pastor Jim talked about the life of Joseph, I'm sure all of those things which he endured were horrible, but they were steps in God's plan for him to be a redeeming figure for his people later on. So, you know, sometimes the mistake we make in when we hear about God's exhortation to be thankful in all circumstances, to try to look for silver linings in every situation, or to try to gauge the circumstances by its immediate sort of influence or effect on us. And I'm just here to say, I don't think that's what God means when He says, be thankful in all circumstances. I think what God is trying to say, be thankful in all circumstances, is that, or be thankful in everything. In everything, give thanks. Is that in every situation, God's presence, God's promise to us, that all things work out for the good of those who love Him, holds true. I think God's telling us, you can be thankful in every situation, even if you can't understand the impact of that circumstance later on for your life. We can be thankful that God is in control, that God is wise enough, and He works all things together. And so rather we experience good or bad, we can be assured that God is still in control, that God is working things out in our life according to His plan, and that is for our good if we trust Him with it. Okay? Now, that said, I do want to just let you know, to say that God is working in our life and to experience it in the midst of tragedy is a difficult thing. Okay? This isn't an easy thing. I hope, you know, one of the ways in Christianity loses credibility with sort of the outside world is the glib way in which we sort of talk about God's will or God's commands for us. God's commands are not easy at times. They are, you know, they demand a lot from us. They demand radical surrender and trust even when we don't experience it. To be thankful in all circumstances, in every circumstances, in everything to be thankful, when there is no silver lining, when we're going through hard times, is terribly a difficult thing. And we know, we can know in our minds and in our hearts that God is in charge and God is working out for all those things. But when you lose someone you love or you're going through a tremendous, painful, stressful situation in life, sometimes just knowing in your head and heart is not enough. It's hard. And that's why I believe we need to be involved with people who can be conduits of God's grace and promise in those times. Okay? So there's a little briefly about what giving thanks in all circumstances is not about. But what I really want to focus today about is how Paul, in his life, he demonstrates what it means to rejoice, pray, and give thanks in every circumstance. So let's look at 1 Thessalonians real quick again. And I turn to turn to an early chapter. Turn to chapter 3, and we're going to look at something real quick. Paul, you know, in writing 1 Paul, when he writes the exhortation, my voice did drop about an octave just right now. When he writes, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, I think he's writing out of his life experience. I don't think he's drawing these things abstractly. He's not sort of putting out sort of these abstract ideas. This is something that flows from his life and his heart and his own experience with God. And so let's look at 1 Thessalonians 3. I want you to really concentrate, focus on verses 9 and 10, verses 9 and 10, but I want to give you the context of this little part by reading from verse 6 all the way through 13. Okay, and we can see what, sort of try to get at what Paul was talking about in chapter 5, how it flows from his own life experience. But Timothy has just now come to us from you, that is the church in Thessalonica, and has brought good news about your faith and love. He has told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us just as we also long to see you. Therefore, brothers, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now we really live since you are standing firm in the Lord. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father Himself and our Lord Jesus Christ clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May He strengthen your heart so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all His holy ones. Look what he says in verses 9 and 10. He says, how can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. In those two verses, you see all three elements of Paul's exhortation in chapter 5, 16 through 18. You see joy, you see thanksgiving, and you see ceaseless, unending prayer. And so when Paul comes to chapter 5, verses 16, 18, he's not just picking three random things out of the air and saying, you as Christians should do these things. He is writing from his own experience of how God is working in his life. And from that, he realizes that to follow Christ, to love God and to love others, is to experience joy, is to give thanks, and is to be praying ceaselessly for those things which God burdens us with. So there are a couple of things I just want to draw your attention to. The first is that for Paul and his life, and I think the exhortation for us, is that we tend to be thankful for that which brings us joy. In other words, joy and thanksgiving are intricately intertwined. Paul says once again, how can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of God before you? Now remember, Paul is in the midst of persecution. Okay, if you look a little bit earlier, in verse 7, it says, brothers, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged. Here is Paul. Here is Paul doing the work of God, called by God to proclaim the good news of the kingdom to the Gentiles. And he tells us he's endured much hardships. He's gone through periods of great hunger and being exposed to the cold. He talks about being flogged. And we know from stories in Acts that he was at one time stoned, left for dead. We know that he received the 40 minus 1 lashes several times. And we know he was falsely imprisoned, okay, beaten. So in all of these hardships, in all of these things that Paul is enduring, he says he was greatly encouraged and has great joy because of the church in Thessalonica. Here's the thing. Here's the thing about Thanksgiving. We can leave today hearing this message that God wants me to be more thankful. So I'm going to leave today and I'm going to try to be thankful for everything in my life. I'm not going to grumble. I'm going to go and whatever good or bad happens, I'm just going to be a more thankful person. And I think what Paul is trying to tell us in 1 Thessalonians is that rather than trying to convince ourselves to be more thankful for everything, I think Paul is telling us, are you joyful for the right things? Okay? The challenge for us living in Southern California, and I've said this many times, and this is a big challenge for me also in my life, and I think for us, is Paul's joy was in the church in Thessalonica. They were his joy. Okay? And when he heard that they were doing well, that they were standing firm in the faith, it encouraged them, and it led to an overflowing amount of thanksgiving. We tend to be thankful for that which brings us joy. Okay? And so I want to ask you, what brings joy in your life? What brings you happiness? What are you thankful for? If you speak to most parents, parents are generally most thankful for their children. If their children are doing well, if their children are healthy, they're studying well, or in Jerry's case, I think Jeffrey, if you're on Facebook with Jerry, you know that Jeffrey won first place in a little chess tournament, right? For his age division. So I won't be playing him in chess anytime soon. But, you know, when our children do well, like win a chess tournament, it brings us joy. It brings us joy. And when we have joy in our hearts, it tends to overflow into thanksgiving. But here's the thing. What is Paul's joy focused on? Paul's joy is focused on the well-being of other people. And here's a challenge for us that I want to give to you this Thanksgiving. I think God is asking us this season of our life to turn away from focusing on the lesser sort of, I'm not saying these, you know, being delighting in our children are lesser things, or getting a promotion in our job, or having our career go well, or in today's, you know, economic times, just having a job. You know, I know, for example, where I work at Fuller Seminary, we had lots of layoffs. It was the worst season. I've been working there on and off for about 11 years. It was the worst year of Fuller Seminary's existence in terms of the amount of grief that people went through and amount of hardship because of the layoffs. And I'm just thankful that, you know, our department came out pretty unscathed. So we can be thankful for these things. But I think what God is saying to us is we can be thankful for all of these things that affects us. But I think God is saying, I want you now to turn your focus on to others. I want for a season for your joy to be derived on not what happens to you in your life and the circumstances in your life. Rather, you're healthy or sick, or your job is going well, or your business is booming, or you're going through sort of a personal renaissance, or whatever it may be, or maybe going through a difficult time. Rather than focusing on yourself for a season, I think God is wanting us to learn to develop what it means to rejoice and the well-being of someone else. It says, when you learn to be joyful that others are doing well, then you're going to experience the kind of thanksgiving that overflows, that can sort of pervade any situation. You could be going through a hard time yourself, like Paul was, being persecuted, but find great encouragement and joy in the well-being of others, because your joy is not tied into your circumstances, but in what God is doing, how God's grace is meeting the needs of other people. Once again, at the danger of being overly repetitious, you know, we are satisfied with sometimes lesser things than we ought to. And, you know, I can't help but think of children and when we were young. And I know, you know, when I hear parents share up here, there's a lot of lessons to be learned from observing our children. There really is. You know, I have a nephew who's three. I don't have little ones on my own, so I have to go to my nephews now. I have a nephew who's three. It's like candy, right? Candy brings him joy and happiness. So, you know, but really, you know, I mean, it does. But for him, it really does. And I think we tend to focus on lesser things. The greater joy in life, I think, is investing and seeing God's grace being poured out into other people. And that kind of joy really transcends circumstances. It really transcends our own circumstances. And I think that's what Paul was experiencing. He was experiencing having a hard time, but he found himself really happy that the Thessalonians were doing well. And so later on, at the end of the chapter, he says, be joyful in all circumstances, because you can be. Even if you're going through a hard time like I was, you still can be joyful and you still can be thankful. And in order for us to get there, I want to end with the second thought, is that we need to sow in order to reap. That means that we need to pursue the right kind of joy and thanksgiving by praying and pursuing God's grace and mercy in other people. Okay? We're never going to experience the kind of joy that Paul is talking about and the kind of thanksgiving that flows from that joy if we are not willing to sow into people's life. Paul, I mean, just think about this. Paul being persecuted and going through a hard time, it just got a smile on his face. It's like he's getting, I'm exaggerating this, a little hyperbole. But, you know, think of Paul getting whacked. Literally, getting beaten, yet in the midst of that persecution, there's a smile and warmth in his heart. Because why? He just heard that the Thessalonians, the church that he poured out his life to, is doing well. How about you? This is a challenge. In 2010, find a life, find a person, and pour yourself into them. We say this every year, but I really mean it. You know, and see if you can kind of get a joy from seeing that person whom you are praying for endlessly, just praying ceaselessly, day and night, Apostle Paul says he prays in thanksgiving for them. He says, what is his Paul's goal? What is Paul so yearning for? What is Paul praying night and day for? So that he could see them and supply what is lacking in their faith, right? Supply what is lacking in their faith. He wants to build them up. Chapter 5, verses 14 says, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. In other words, being involved in other people's life, being involved in helping the weak, and being patient with everyone, in encouraging the timid, in warning those who are idle, in being involved in the life of others, pouring ourselves into them, sowing, listening to their stories, praying for them, you know, asking God, may your grace, may the kingdom reality be real in their life. May they grow in their faith. May they stand firm amidst the temptations of this world. All of these things, when we sow into them and we see them doing well by God's grace, or even if they're not doing well, then we're driven to pray more and to sow more. In due time, if we sow and we're patient, we will reap a harvest of righteousness, and we will see people give glory to God, be touched by God's grace. And in that, we will find a joy that surpasses situations and circumstances. We will find opportunity to give thanks, regardless of what's going on in our own life, because we know that what we've sown is bearing fruit. So we come, you know, we come to church worshiping God, and perhaps our mindset now needs to turn and say, you know, what is God going to do for me, and what is the church doing for me? But instead saying, you know, who is God calling? Who is God drawing me? Who is God bringing into my life for me to sort of invest in and pour myself into? I hope you understand, if you can connect that with thanksgiving and joy, if you can connect those three things, and prayer will naturally happen. If you can connect those things, I think we're going to experience what Apostle Paul meant for us to experience. I think we're going to experience what is God's will for us. And then the other things in our life, the decisions about career, the decisions about school, the decisions about our mate, all of these things will fall in this rightful place. If we are in the center of God's will, if we are doing what we know God wants us to do, pursue His kingdom and His righteousness, rejoice, give thanks, work towards sanctification, when we know, pursue these things, all of these other things will fit in. Okay? So will you just pray for a minute as we close? Will you just bow your eyes and ask God, say, God, I want to be thankful because I see fruit and grace being born in the life of someone that you led me to pour out and invest in. It's not about what's going on in your life, but God, I want, next time this year, I want us to say, God, I am so thankful because so-and-so that you brought into my life, that I've poured out my heart for them, prayed for them night and day, and really just wanted to see God, your kingdom established, your grace ministered in their life. And Lord, I see them bearing fruit. I see them encouraged. I see them standing firm. And I can't tell you, God, how joyful I am and how that joy leads me to this unending thanksgiving. May that be our prayer this time next year. May there be a group of people, a person, or someone that we give ourselves to this year, so that next year, at their growth, at God pouring grace into their life through you somehow, that our hearts are overflowing with grace and thanksgiving. May it be so. In Jesus' name. Right, let's pray. Father, we thank you. We bless you. May your word bear fruit. And Lord, open our eyes to see beyond ourselves, to love others, and in loving others, to experience the depth of joy and thanksgiving that comes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We stand and receive the benediction.